If you remember, we studied last Sunday, God with us, Emmanuel. We are going to study today from the Matthew and from Luke. When we read the Word of God, it is a little bit confusing to us, but we want to know who came into this world. Did the Father come, or did the Holy Spirit come, or the Son came into this world to redeem the world? So we are going to study. We are going to read the first Luke chapter 1 and start reading from verse 31.
And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Now here we see, in short, Mary was chosen to bring the Son of God into this world. And Mary, if you remember, if you study a little bit further, when she goes to Elizabeth's house, and Elizabeth didn't know anything that what the Mary went through. As soon as she gives the salutation, the babe in the Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy, and she started praising God, and she filled with the Spirit of God and started prophesying. What she said, You are so blessed. I am so privileged to see the mother of my Lord coming and visiting me. Once she hears that, Mary came to know, I am already pregnant. How long it took? Here the word of God is saying, when the angel comes and gives her greetings, she didn't understand. She thought it's, what is this? I am an ordinary person. But at the same time, this lady, this girl, people are saying she was 14 years old and things like that. I don't think she was 14 years old. God will never give hard time to the little girls. Maybe she has to be mature. She has to be big enough to handle this situation. Just think 13, 14 years old, she will be horrified and maybe getting crazy. But this girl has to be, in my understanding, she has to be between 16 to 18 years old. So she was a mature girl, maybe a lady, we said girl. But when she heard these greetings, she was a little bit confused because she never heard in her life that this can happen. But I believe that she was studying the Bible. Because when she says something to, after the Elizabeth starts saying, she starts praising God and she starts saying, you remember Father Abraham, you promised to Abraham. So from that, she should know some Bible. And if she's knowing the Bible, then she should know the Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The virgin will bring forth the son. And the word of God said the child will be born and the son will be given. So she knew these things, but she could not understand what the angel is saying. But the angel said, your sister Elizabeth, she's in now already 6 months pregnant. When she hears that, she got some kind of faith. If my cousin Elizabeth, she might be in her 90s or 80s or maybe 100, and now she is pregnant for 6 months, then there is nothing impossible angel already says there is nothing impossible with God. Then what the Mary says? Then Mary start thinking. She said, if God can do anything. So she said, let it be according to thy word. Means, let it be according to thy word. Which word she was talking about? She was not saying angel's word. Angel has no power. Angels are the ministering spirit. They just say whatever God says. They are just like an ambassador. Ambassador goes to another country. He has to represent the country. And so she heard the message from the angel, but she knew this message came from God. So God is able to do according to his will. So she says, let it be according to your word. And God has already given this word long time ago. When he created mankind, and when the devil deceived the man, and then God cursed the man, cursed the woman, and finally he cursed the Satan, and he says, the seed of woman is going to crush your head. And so that promise was given long time ago. But the people were waiting. As I said earlier, maybe when Cain was born, his mother and father might be thinking he might do something. I said when the Noah was born, his parent was thinking something. If you read the Genesis chapter 5, verse 29, I think. Please read.
And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed.
They are saying, this my son Noah will comfort us. We are cursed. The whole land is cursed. And at that time, the people were doing all evil things. We studied when we were studying the book of Genesis, but Genesis chapter 6, we said their thoughts were evil. They were doing continuously evil things. And there was no fear of God in anyone's heart. And that's the time the parents start thinking, maybe he will comfort us. Maybe he will give us a new world. Maybe he will take the curse away from this earth. But what happened in time of Noah's whole world was cursed. Whole world was vanished. Whole world was under the water and everyone died. Only Noah and his family was protected. So here the word of God is saying God was waiting for the right timing. If you remember last time, last week itself, Isaiah said, I will go. But God says, you will go, you will preach, nobody is going to listen. Their hearts will be stubborn, their ears will be deaf, nobody will listen. So Isaiah got a little bit concerned. He said, Lord, how long these people will not listen? Then he gave the whole future history. Your people will be going to exile. Maybe 70 years. After that, I'll give them 70 weeks. And end of the 70 weeks, the Savior will come, destroy your enemies, and then establish the eternal kingdom. That's the time people will listen. Until then, nobody is going to listen. And so God was waiting for the timing. And if you read Psalm 14 verses 1 to 7, Psalm 53 verses 1 to 6, you will see the condition of the world was so horrible. Nobody was thinking about God. Nobody was worshiping God. Nobody was thinking righteousness. And the people were so much depressed. But God says, I'm going to send my son in due time. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Now, this was the plan of God. We learned last week because God wanted us to be holy, loving God, and no man was able to do it. So he sent his son to obey the commandment. He waited until the law is given. When the law was given, at least somebody will obey the law. But nobody was obeying the law. And book of Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah 31 verses 31 to 34, I'm tired of these people. They are not obeying the law. No, I'm going to make a new covenant with the people of God. Even the Daniel, he said, I'm going to send the Messiah, but he will be cut off, not for himself, but for the others. And so people did not understand Jesus Christ coming. And so here the word of God is saying the whole world was committing sin. They were looking for some savior. They were looking for somebody to come and redeem them. Here the Paul takes the same Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 and repeats that psalm in his sermon. Let's read the Romans chapter 3, starting from verse 10 to 18.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Now here he's saying, it is written. Where is written? It's written in Psalm 14. It's written in Psalm 53. And he's repeating what is written. Okay, go ahead.
There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
This was the situation. Then he says, nobody looking for God. And God says, I'm going to send my son in the due time. This was the right timing that God wanted to save the world. And read from verse 21 to 25, the same chapter, Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 25.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God.
So what God was saying, nobody is righteous. They cannot do righteous things. I'm going to send my son, and my son will take their sin upon him, and he will die behalf of them. And that was the plan of God. And that's why God was waiting. And so centuries passed, and now God is saying, I'm going to send my son. But when we're reading the word of God, Mary was confused. Mary starts saying, how is this going to be happening? So he says, the child you're going to be bringing into this world, this child will be called the child of the highest. That means he will be the Son of God. He said, how is going to happen? He says, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit of God, will overshadow you. And then he gave the explanation. When you're reading in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 18.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
See, he said she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. When somebody reads that, they get confused how this child was born. Is that child was born by the Holy Spirit? Or the child was born by the Spirit of God? How it happened? We read the verse 20.
But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
See, he says, this is of the Holy Ghost. Now, somebody would say, This child is the child of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not the father of Jesus. So from the beginning, if you study the Word of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are from the beginning. Nobody created Father, nobody created Son, nobody created Holy Spirit. They are from the beginning. That's why we call triune one God. And so now what happened? The Father is in a spirit. How do you know? John chapter 4, verse 24. Please read.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Jesus Christ saying, God is spirit. When you say God, you should be start thinking God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is God. So God was in the spirit form, the Son was in the spirit form, and the Holy Spirit is already in the spirit form. So now, when God wants to come as an Emmanuel, we already learned that was the Son of God. So what was happening? This was the creation of the second Adam. The first Adam was created from the dust. There was no mother. There was no father. Just the dust. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit took the dust and they created man. At that time, they were all in the spirit form. The spirit has the bodies. But we cannot see. That's a spiritual body. So they created mankind and breathed on the man, and the man became living soul. So that was the creation of first Adam. Now they are creating a second Adam. And the first Adam was, when they were creating, you see the word of God said the Spirit of God was hovering on the water of the earth. And then what happened? Then he said, let us make a man. When he said, let us make a man, means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God, say, we are going to make a mankind. And that is written in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27. But the point I'm making here, when the angel said to Mary, the power of the highest will overshadow you, and that's the time you are going to be pregnant. So now she didn't understand anything. Angel did not explain the Trinity to Joseph. He did not explain Trinity to Mary because that was not his job. Before Jesus Christ came into this world, there was no Trinity explained. That's why we learn in the Old Testament, they knew only God or Lord. They didn't know who Jesus was. But we learned Jesus was with them all the time. And then we learned that when the Mary was talking with the angel, an angel said, the power of the highest will overshadow you. The power is the power of God or Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God or Spirit of Christ. They were all in the spirit form until that moment. So here the Father Spirit, Son Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, they are hovering on Mary. Now, as soon as the Mary said, let it be according to thy word, what would happen? St. John chapter 1, verse 14, what it says,
and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Now here is saying, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what did you see? We saw the glory of God in Jesus Christ, because he is the only begotten of the Father. So the Word of God says God gave his Son to this world and he was with God. We learned last week that Father said to Son, O God. Father says to Son, O Lord. So the point I'm making, St. John chapter 1 verse 1 and 2, we learn In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word created everything. We learned last week. But here we see now, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit hovering on Mary. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit cannot force salvation, cannot force anyone to receive them. Only the message is given. The person has to receive it. But the Mary heard it. She didn't know anything about what's going to happen. Because Emmanuel, God with us, she learned. But she didn't know how the God is going to come into my womb. She didn't know that. And so many people have different theories. But here plainly the Word of God is saying, the Word became flesh. What happened? As soon as Mary said, let it be, what happened? The Spirit of Christ has no boundaries. When you say Spirit, Spirit can go anywhere, move anywhere, wherever the place is. There is no place can say the Spirit cannot travel. So as soon as Mary says, let it be according to your word. Now the word is life. Let's read the St. John chapter 6. And start reading verse 63.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
See, here is saying, Jesus is saying, words I'm speaking to you, those words, they have spirit. And the Word has life. So when we say the Word was the from the beginning, that Word had the Spirit and the Word had the life. So as soon as Mary says, let it be according to your word, that Spirit of Christ, that Spirit of Christ has the life, and that life enter into the Mary's womb. And that's why Mary became pregnant, just receiving the Word. So, how we became a Christian, do you know? Just receiving the word. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
See, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. That's the way you get born again. Word of God you receive to yourself. You receiving Word of God means you receiving Jesus Christ. You receiving His Word, you're receiving His life. As soon as the person says, let it be according to your Word, means I believe that your Word is true. You send your Word to rule the world. You send your Word to change the world. You send your word to redeem the world. You send the world to forgive the sinners. And I am going to receive that word because that word liveth and abideth forever. That's an eternal word. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into Mary's womb. And what the angel said to her, name him Jesus. What angel told to Joseph, name him Jesus. And he said, why Jesus? He said, Jesus means he is the Savior. He's going to save the world. So the man named Jesus, as soon as Mary says, I receive it. So what happened? The Spirit of God entered into Mary's womb, and that little Jesus was born. And so he took the form of man, and that man was Jesus. So Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God-man. That's why Jesus Christ is became Savior of the world. And not only that, why he became Savior? Because the Word of God says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, because he suffered, he obeyed, and he gave his life, he died on the cross, and he rose again, So now the Jesus name is name above all name. And that's why it says Jesus is the Savior. So here the Word of God is saying, Jesus Christ, the Jesus, the person, received the Word of God in the Mary's womb, as the Mary says, let it be according to your word. And we heard that word has power, the word has life. And Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, it says, his name will be Word of God. Please read that. Revelation 19, 13.
And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
See, now when Jesus Christ, he defeated the enemy, his clothes were dipped in the blood. He said, who is that? It's the Word of God. So see how Jesus Christ took that Word of God name for himself. That's why he says, in the beginning was the Word, but that Word was Son of God. But when Son of God came and took the form of man, that man became the Word of God, the Jesus Christ. So it's a little confusing, but it makes sense. Because once we are ordinary people, we are sinners, but once you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, what happens? You are not an ordinary person, you are a child of God. You are the sons of God. You are the daughters of God. That's what God makes within a split second. As soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are the sons of God. We just read in the book of Galatians, chapter 4 and verse 6. You might be not paying attention, but read that verse one more time. He says, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because of that, I'm going to take his spirit and put it in your spirit. Please read.
And because you're sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
See what he's trying to say, because you are sons. How you became son? Because you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became my sons. So now I'm going to make you real son. So take the son spirit, which is the Son of God, put it in your spirit, and then you can call me Abba Father. Means my sons calls me Abba, you can call me Abba Father. So Son of God comes to dwell in you as soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So now the Word of God became flesh, and that Word of God became Christ, because it says his clothes will dipped in blood and his name is called Word of God. And so without Word of God, you cannot get saved. Without receiving the Word, you cannot get saved. So he says, how you get born again? You receive the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into your heart. The same way Mary received the Son of God, she became pregnant and she gave the birth to the Son called Jesus Christ. He said, name him Jesus. In Matthew, he said, they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Who are they? The whole world, the whole nations will call Jesus Christ as the Son of God or the God on earth. People do not understand, but we know. Without Jesus Christ, we were lost. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now we are the children of God. So God was waiting for a long, long time. And people thought God doesn't care. But when God gave the promise to Adam thousands of years ago, but he did not forget the promise. Sometimes you make a promise to somebody and you purposely do not fulfill the promise. I said, I was just kidding. I was not serious. But if God gives you promise, God keeps his word. So he promised that one day, the seed of woman will crush the head of Satan. And you know Jesus, the Word of God says Jesus Christ came with this purpose. The Son of God came with this purpose. Read the 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Please read.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Who came into this world? Son of God. Son of God came into this world only one purpose. What? To destroy the works of the devil. And he said the Son of God came because the devil is a destroyer, he's a killer, and no one was able to destroy. No Adam's son, no Noah, no what do you call Abraham, or even Isaac or Jacob, or even Moses. No one was able to destroy the Satan. And the word of God says he destroyed him on the cross. And so devil is defeated. We have to believe that devil is defeated. Devil has no power over the believers. The word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world has blinded what? Not eyes. The blinded the mind of the unbelievers, not believers. The devil cannot blind my eyes. He cannot blind my mind because I have the mind of Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ, you have the mind of Christ, and devil has no power to mess up your mind because you are belong to God. When you stand before God in the name of Jesus and God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, you are perfect, you are righteous. But still some people do not know. All the Christians are preaching, oh, we are sinners, we are a sinful person, we cannot be perfected, we can only perfect when you go to heaven. How can you go to heaven if you are a sinner? The word of God says no unholy thing will enter into the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus Christ came, that's why the Son of God came. To destroy the enemy and sacrifice his body as the living sacrifice. And the person says, I receive it. I receive the forgiveness of my sins. I receive you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. I receive Jesus Christ as my Redeemer. Then your sins are forgiven. Your curse is taken away. And now you are a child of God. You should not be afraid of devil at all. Devil should be under your feet, not on your head. Because the word of God says, devil should be under your feet. We should not be afraid of devil. People are making devil so big, but the devil is nothing. One day one person was a minister, a dreaming, and the devil came. And to fight with him. And he got so scared. And so he said, oh Lord, help me, help me. Lord says, get hold of him. And once he started getting hold of him, he became like a cotton ball. He says, nothing, no bones, nothing. And he had no power to do any harm to me. You have to know the devil is defeated. He is a defeated one. He has no power over the believers. That's why we have to tell people, if you are having problems with the devil, devil brings sickness, disease, poverty, and all the depression, and all kinds of problem comes from devil. That's why St. John chapter 10, verse 10, what he says? The enemy, the devil, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. The people don't know. There was a one man I heard on the internet. He says, all the people who are preaching prosperity, they're all sinners. He said, you don't know. Prosperity comes from Christ. The word of God says he became poor with his poverty. You can be rich. Somebody says, how come? Jesus did not become poor physically. He did not become poor spiritually. What did he do? He gave his everything for mankind. So now you can get everything what is belong to God. So the God himself came into this world. Now he says, I lower myself so much for you. Now with my poverty, with my life, you will have prosperity. Sin brings you all kinds of calamity. Sin takes you away from God. Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross. All the sin were laid on him. What happened? God moved away. And he says, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? So God only goes away from you when you are committing sin. Now there are people teaching today, they are saying, once you are saved, you saved forever, and you are not going to lose your salvation, and because you are in the hand of God, God is not going to let you go. Are we robots? No. Are we slave? No. We are free. He says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Even the angels were created, they were not robots. That's why he committed sin. We are free to go. If somebody doesn't want to worship the Lord, they can walk away. God is not going to, come back. He said, if you have will to go, you want to follow the devil or you want to follow me? He says, here I give you choice. Here is the life, here is the death. Choose one. He doesn't force you to choose life. He gives you life and death. He said, but I'll prefer if you choose life. But if not, the judgment day, I'll take care of you. So the point I'm making, Mary had the choice. She said, let it be according to your word. And when she does that, she, as soon as she heard that if I receive the word, I will be pregnant. She didn't know from now until 1 year or 2 years or 5 years when she's going to be pregnant, because angel didn't say. As soon as you say, let it be, you will be pregnant that second. He didn't say anything. So she didn't know anything. Other day somebody was telling me the story that angel came and visited her, and then she goes running to her husband, Joseph, who had betrayed. He said, guess what? I'm pregnant. How did it happen? Oh, just God told me. God did not tell you how you became pregnant right now. God just said, are you willing? He said, yes, I'm willing. Let it be. Then she goes to her sister. She just wanted to go and tell her, I saw the angel. Angel told me this and that. Before she could say anything, she said, hey, you are blessed. Whatever you heard is going to be fulfilled. And you are going to be blessed. Then she came to know I'm pregnant. The point I'm making, you have to make sure that you are born again. How do you know? Somebody said, oh, somebody told me that you are born again. Doesn't work that way. Born again is experience. You have to feel the Christ in you. You have to produce the fruit of righteousness. You have to feel that the Spirit of God is moving in your life. The Holy Spirit is experience. You have to have experience. The born again is experience. Somebody cannot say you are born again now. It doesn't work. If you are born again, then you have to feel it in your spirit that the God the Father lives in me. Jesus Christ lives in me. Now I cannot fool with the sin because my sins are forgiven. I am a child of God. I will not do the things I used to do before. Nobody has to tell you. Once you are born again, you are not going to smoke. Once you are born again, you are not going to drink. Once you are born again, you are not going to go to bar and dance with the filthy girls. Once you are born again, you are going to go to church. Once you are born again, you are going to read the Bible. Once you are born again, you are going to tell somebody that you are born again. If you are not all doing all of these things, then I have doubt that are you really born again? So the born again people cannot silently live a Christian life. Born again means Christ is born. You know, when the Mary said, let it be according to your word, what happened? She became pregnant. How long she could keep the Christ in her. 9 months, 9 days or 10 months, the baby came out. The same way, if you say, I'm born again, how many years? Maybe 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, and nothing is happening. You are not telling anybody you are born again. We don't see the fruit of the Spirit in you. You are not witnessing to anybody. You are not even telling that I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. What the Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if that verse you should be repeating in your heart, and you should knowing what the Word of God is saying, how can I be born again? Please read.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
See what he's saying? How can you say it? You have to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior into your heart. You have to believe that Jesus Christ came into this world to save the world. And I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And when I believe that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, the Savior will come into my life and then I'll be saved. Now read the verse 10.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
See, when you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are righteous. You are the righteousness of God. But the same time he says, when you confess with your mouth and tell somebody, that's the proof of salvation, that I'm saved. I'm a child of God. There are your neighbors sitting beside you in your house, and nobody knows who lives in this neighborhood. You're supposed to tell them, you know what? When I came into this neighborhood, I'm a child of God. I go to church. I'm a believer. I received Jesus Christ in such and such a year, such and such a month, and I'm living a joyful life. I'm so happy and joyful. Can I help you somewhere? The neighbor will say, wow, I got somebody in my neighborhood. I can depend. I can trust. I can tell somebody to pray. Point I'm making, wherever you go, let the people know that you are a child of God. What St. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes in, you are going to shine for him. When Jesus Christ was born, what happened? The star came. The shepherd started running. They heard the angel singing and praising and glorifying God. And they said, hey, let's go and see what the angels are saying. Do you know in the midnight, they were taking care of the sheep, and why they were waiting there? So the lion, the tiger, the wolf would not come and kill their sheep. Those are the sheep were given for the high priests and the priest. And these are not ordinary shepherds. These are the shepherds were watching the sheep of the slaughters they are going to be. But the angel is saying, I'll give the sign. The baby will be wrapped in the swaddling clothes and put in the manger. So they know, hey, the baby is wrapped in the manger. What they used to do, when the baby lamb is born, they will wrap the baby lamb in the swaddling cloth. Why? Because the baby lamb is born, their leg is not strong. They're wobbly. They can fall and break the leg. And the leg is crooked. You cannot sacrifice the lamb then anymore. So they want to take care of the lamb. So they will wrap the lamb in the swaddling cloth and put it in the manger. And what the angel said, this Savior is a Christ, is the King. And he's born today, not only for you, for the whole world. There will be peace on earth and a goodwill toward all men. But the point I'm making, they knew this Lamb is a Christ. He says Christ means what? Christ means Christ is going to be crucified. Christ is going to die. Christ is called Anointed One. So they knew the meaning of the word. This baby is wrapped in the swaddling cloth. Is Christ. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die for us. And so they didn't care about those lambs. They came running. They said, we are going to see the Christ. We are going to see the Savior. And they came and they worshiped. And the word of God says, what did they do? They went and told everyone, hey, the Christ is born, the Savior is born. Knocking at every door in the middle of the night and telling. Some people say, who are these crazy people? They're telling us that Jesus Christ is born, the Savior is born. But they didn't care. That's the way we should be doing. We should not be afraid of anyone. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not an ordinary person. You are what? Son of God. I am the child of God. So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ came into this world. This was the gift of God. What he's saying in St. John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what did he do? He gave his Son as a sacrifice for the whole world. And Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, what we learn that the child is born and the Son is a given. It's a gift. God gave the Son as a gift. What the Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So who is Jesus? He's the gift. Is a gift of God to whole mankind. I say Jesus Christ is the gift. So what more you want? If you read in a book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 32, what the word of God is saying? He gave the greatest gift, his only Son. What more you want? Please read.
He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
See, it's very, very important word. He says he did not spare his Son, means he did not say, I'm going to keep my Son for myself. I'm not going to give it. Jesus Christ also said in the book of Philippians, I did not want to be a God in heaven all the time. I wanted to be a man. Willingly came. The Father says, I did not help my Son. Son, don't go. Son says, I will go. I will give my life. So I said, I gave my Son. So he said, if I gave my Son to die on the cross of Calvary for you, he can give you anything what you want. There is nothing important. You have to believe. If he gave his Son, he can give me anything. There is nothing impossible with God. That's what the angel said to Mary. There's nothing impossible with God. Whatever your needs are, if he gave his Son, everything what you need, he gives to you. So the point I'm making, you don't worry. Our God holds all the universe, all the cattle, all the silver, all the gold. Everything is in his hand. But we are running away from God and asking God to help. He said, it's not going to happen that way. What you need Christ in you. And the Christ in you, what is it? Hope of glory shall we rise. That is the Christmas is all about. Don't keep Jesus in the manger. Keep it in your heart. If you never received him, receive it now. And if you received him, if Jesus Christ is with me and the word we already read, if he spared not his Son, he gave his Son freely. Do you think he is not going to give us any other thing freely? Salvation is free. Once you get salvation, you got everything. You got whole world in your hand if you have Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Lord of your life. There is nothing shortage of anything. Once you have Jesus, Jesus will be with you. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. So that's the Jesus will be with you for eternity. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle working God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to know Jesus Christ is the gift of God to mankind. We receive it for the glory of God. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. Without Jesus, there is no healing. Without Jesus, there is no miracle. We receive it and give us grace to follow you. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.